but it's from the point of view of a scientist, which is what I teach in high school, about the nature of God and our relationship to Him. What made me start thinking about it was this song, which we're going to sing at the end of the service. And it talks about that God is above all these things, but then He came to live and die on the earth. And the last line says, "And you thought of me above all." And I was thinking, how could God think of me? How could Jesus think of me and you and you and everybody in here and everybody that's ever been born and everybody that's ever lived, everybody that's going to be born? How could He do that? And then I started thinking about what God actually is like. Could you turn this down just a little, I think? Thank you. Oh, I have to turn it down? I have to move this down? So this line, this last line of the song, "Thought of Me Above All," is what gave me the idea to put together this presentation. And I titled it Omni. Now, Omni is a, I think it's on the Science Channel or one of those channels on TV, and they talk about the universe. But this is actually a prefix, which just means all. And when we're talking about God, we use this word added to other things. A lot of people, though, have the idea that God is in heaven. And I think in one of the songs that we just sang, it mentioned something about as far as the heavens are above the earth. And I know my mother thinks that God is up there in heaven looking down on us. And when my dad died, she thinks he's up there looking down on us. Now, that's not my idea of what heaven is like, watching my kids screw up. I don't want to be looking down on earth when I'm in heaven. But this is what a lot of people think. So God can zoom in anytime He wants. He's way up there looking down on earth, but He can zoom in to this general area. And He can even zoom right on in to Pine Mountain Club. And in fact, let's see, maybe we could turn off some of these lights. Because it's a little harder to see this. Thank you, that's perfect. Okay, so God can zoom in on Pine Mountain. He can even zoom right in on Pine Mountain Christian Community Church. Now, I don't know if my mother thinks He can see through the roof. We can't in this picture. But He knows you're here because why? At least He could see you walking in here, and He hasn't seen you walking back out, so He figures you're probably still in here. No, God's not like this at all. In fact, one of the characteristics of God is that He's omnipresent. That means He's present in all places at all times. Now, by all places, are we talking about all places on the earth? No, He's existent everywhere. And in Psalms it says, "You created the north and the south." There's a line up there at the top. I'll go back to the slide in a little while. There's a line at the top, though, that demonstrates a mathematician's understanding of what a line is. A line starts somewhere, goes straight, keeps on going. There's no end to that line. And now Einstein said there's a little bit different idea about space, that it's kind of warped, twisted, and that if you head out from Earth and you head off in any direction you want, and if you went far enough, fast enough, you would come back to where you started from the opposite direction. So in Einstein's version of space, there is no straight line. Everything curves back on itself eventually. But from a mathematician's point of view, the line has no beginning and no end. As far as the east is from the west, we heard that being read, that that's how far God puts our sins away from us. He, as far as the east is from the west. How far are those apart? There's no end to how far apart they are. You'll notice that the background for these slides is a slide that I'm going to get to in a minute. But it shows some of the stars that we see at night. Another characteristic of God is that He's omniscient. That means having infinite awareness, understanding, and insight. He's totally aware of everything. There's nothing that He's not aware of. He understands us too, which is also equally important. He created us, He understands us. It's not like You know, we understand ourselves when we don't. But God does. He knows why we make mistakes, and He's forgiving of those. And insight. He understands the things that are making us do what we're doing. Omniscient also means possessed of universal or complete knowledge. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And we get some references to this in Scripture in 1 Samuel. For the Lord is a God who knows. Now, this was written back when there were a lot of people worshiping gods that were smaller gods that in the cultures around the Israelites that didn't know what the other god was doing. And so in Samuel, reminding the Israelites that the God they worship knows what's going on. In Job was having all these difficulties, and his friends were trying to convince him that he must have done something wrong. And this is what Job says: He knows the way that I take. And finally, in Luke here, it says, "But God knows your hearts." And really, that's the most critical part about what God knows about you. He knows you're trying to do the right thing, even when we screw up and do the wrong thing, make mistakes. He knows it in our hearts that we're trying to serve Him and hoping that our heart, as one song said, beats in line with God's heart. That God will direct our hearts. This picture, I don't know if any of you have a dime in your pocket or your purse. If you get out a dime, though, you can do this. So you can do it at home tonight if you want. If you get a dime out here in this at this time, you can drop it in one of those baby bottles on the way out and help the Vine Pregnancy Center. But there was an area of space. There's a couple of stars right there, two stars that have the light spreading out from them that are actually in our galaxy. But other than those two stars, scientists thought that this part of the sky had nothing else in it, that it was an empty part of the sky. From all even the most powerful telescopes on the planet, when they looked at that area of the sky, except for those two stars, they didn't see anything at all. And that area of the sky is an area that would be covered by the eye of Roosevelt in a dime when you hold it out at arm's length. So this is just a little tiny speck of sky. You can imagine how many eyeballs it would have to be to cover the whole sky. So this is a little tiny part of the sky where scientists thought there was absolutely nothing there. They aimed the Hubble telescope at that point for about 3 days. It took that much time to collect the light that was coming in from such a distance away in such dim objects. And they found all these things out there in that little part of the sky. And every one of those, other than those two stars, every other point you see is an entire galaxy with an average of 100 billion stars in it. They calculate that there's 100 billion galaxies in the universe based on this, and each one has 100 billion stars. Now, if you do the math and you multiply those numbers, scientists use a designation called scientific... what is it? Scientific? Who knows this? The scientific notation, yes. That says that there's 10 to the 20... anywhere between 10 to the 22nd and 10 to the 24th. So let's average it as 10 to the 23rd. That's one with 23 zeros after it. That's how many stars are in the universe. And God knows each one of them by name, has a name for each one of them. Even more amazing than that, though, something I just recently learned from biology, is that in each of your bodies, sitting here in this church, if you just count the carbon atoms alone that are in your body, you have 10 to the 27th. In your body are more carbon atoms, 10,000 times more carbon atoms than there are stars in the universe. And so from the biggest thing to the smallest little thing, God is in control. To give you some idea of how small these small things are we're talking about, This is a picture, maybe, I'm not sure it's an actual photograph. They're starting to see individual atoms in some of the best microscopes. But I think this is probably a simulation of what a helium nucleus looks like. And you see that white line up there? It's just slightly longer than the nucleus. It's 1 femtometer. And if you take a meter stick, which probably a lot of you are familiar with, yardstick, it's just slightly longer. It's got divisions marked off on it every centimeter. Now, a centimeter is to a meter like a cent is to a dollar. So it's 100 in a centimeter, 100 centimeters in a meter. And usually on the meter sticks, so a centimeter is about a half inch. And there's other little lines in between those marks. Those are a millimeter apart. If you were to count them on a meter stick, there'd be 1,000 of them. So that's 10^3. That's 1 with 3 zeros after it. If you took those two little tiny lines that are almost touching each other and you divided it into 1,000 spaces, you'd be talking about a micrometer. And if you divided those again into 1,000 spaces, you'd be talking about a nanometer. And scientists are working in nanometer range things these days, doing some really interesting things with robotics. A little 2-inch long robot that is programmed to crawl under your refrigerator during the day when the lights are on. But at night when you turn the lights on, after a little pause, it comes out and starts cruising around your kitchen. And it's been programmed to not go outside your kitchen. It just stays within the realm of your kitchen looking for cockroaches, and it has a little laser on it. And if it senses something moving, it'll cruise over to it and it'll zap it. And then when you turn the lights back on, it scurries back in under the refrigerator and disappears. They built this at MIT. And it's called nanotechnology because it's in the realm of nano things, which is 10 to the minus 9. This is 10 to the minus 15, so it's a million times smaller than that. And that's how big a helium atom is. And the reason we're here having this conversation on this planet is because God designed everything in such a way that we have this sun that's taking helium and turning it into taking hydrogen and turning it into helium, and in the process giving off a whole lot of energy, just a small portion of which hits Pine Mountain Club, but on most days would be warming us up more than it is today. Today's kind of cool. But that's how small things are to keep things going on the bigger scale. Another characteristic of God is that he's omnipotent. That means having unlimited authority or influence. Unlimited. Now, we often talk about Almighty God, and we sing that in some songs, but we really don't think that much about what it means. Almighty. He can do everything. We just go, Almighty God. Think about what that means. He can do anything he wants, as totally unlimited, both in his authority and his influence. Now, here's a word that I didn't know before. I knew about omnipotence and omnipresence, but I was looking up the official definitions of those words in the dictionary. I ran across this word, which I had never heard of before. But I really like this word, omnificent. Unlimited in creative power. So when you're talking about artistic endeavors and people thinking about interesting things, God does the same thing, but on an unlimited scale. When he created this universe that we're in, there's nothing to him. I'm sure he probably enjoyed it. We would. As humans, we enjoy doing things. You know, we'd like to plant gardens, and we'd like to plant flowers, and we like to, I know as a little kid, if I was near a little creek, I'd like to dig a little ditch and make the water run somewhere else. But God is unlimited in his creative power. And we get some references to this in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the universe. It's pretty clear. That's exactly what it says in the first verse in the Bible. He created the male and female later on. And in Psalm it says, you send your spirit, they are created. The people are created that he sends the spirit to. And that, in fact, kind of completes the creation of us. If we don't have God's Spirit within us, then we're kind of in a suspended state of creation. We're not finished getting created until we have God's Spirit indwelling us. That alone, I mean, a lot of these things I'm talking about are could be sermons in themselves, you know, just each individual little fact. But the fact that the Creator of the universe has told you that He will come and indwell you is just amazing. Such an amazing thing. I remember reading that on the Science Channel, they interview some of these physicists, and there's one guy in particular that almost becomes ecstatic about the fact that he's made out of the same stuff stars are made out of. You know, we are made of stardust. That's just amazing. And it is amazing that every breath you take, you're breathing in some of the atoms that Jesus breathed when he was walking around on Earth 2,000 years ago. Those are some amazing facts, but the most amazing thing of all to me is when God said, I will send my Spirit to live in you. And the so not only am I made of stuff stars are made of, the Creator of the stars lives in me. Now, this idea of being created by a supreme being is pretty common around the world. In a whole lot of different societies over the people have come up with this idea. They've looked at the things around them, like we do here in Pine Mountain, and go, how could this have all come about? Some scientists think that it just happened by random chance, but prior to people going to these places from Europe, they already had the belief that that the world was created by a supreme being. A lot of African tribes had this belief. The Ainu of northern Japan, they had this belief. The Amerindians here in what we now call the United States. I know we call it sometimes America, and some people are... I remember a song as a kid growing up. A guy said, where are you from? He says, South America. And he says, what part? He says, South Texas. But the Amerindians, as to keep them straight from the Indians in the subcontinent of India, the Amerindians believed that it was pretty obvious to them that this whole place was created by a supreme being. The Australian Aboriginals also had this belief. And the Fijians, another group of people at the very tip of South America, they believed that. So this idea of being created by a supreme being is pretty common around the world. But a lot of modern religions believe this as well. For example, Jews believe in the God of the creation, the God of the Old Testament. Muslims believe that there is a God that they call Allah that created the universe and created them. Mormons believe this as well. Jehovah's Witnesses believe this. And secular scientists believe this. Now, there's a lot of scientists who are not believers in any particular religion, but when they study what's going on around them, they've come to the conclusion there must be, sometimes they'll call it a higher intelligence or something like that, and of course you get all these other strange ideas about aliens and stuff. But secular scientists often believe in a supreme being that created the universe. In fact, more than 80 years ago, now it's probably closer to 100 years ago, some psychologists surveyed religious beliefs among American scientists, and he found that 42% affirmed their belief in it. And this was the question that he asked: do you believe in a personal God who answers prayer? And 42% of the scientists 100 years ago said yes. Now, you would think that after 100 years of learning even more stuff about the universe, that maybe that would have changed. But the survey was just repeated in the last 10 years, and the results are almost exactly the same. 40% of the scientists, top scientists, Nobel Prize winners and people like that, believed in a personal God who answered prayer. Now, anybody in those other religions that I showed on the screen could say that. So what is it, though, that makes us as Christians set apart from these beliefs that all these other people have. What about Jesus? Jesus is the difference for us. So if we and many others know that these things are true about God, what does the Bible say about Jesus relative to these attributes of God? His omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, and his omnificence. First, Jesus' omnipresence. In the beginning was the Word. Do you know that before God created the universe, there was no time? We think that time is just this thing, that, like that line up there, that goes forever in both directions. But it actually did have a beginning. It's when God spoke. That's why it says it was the Word. The Word was spoken. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that sets us apart from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it sets us apart from the Mormons, and it sets us apart from most of the other religions as well. In the beginning, Jesus was with God and was God. And in Matthew 28:20 it says, "And surely," and this is the words of Jesus himself, "and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is with us. He's omnipresent. How about Jesus' omniscience? Again, this is the words of Jesus. Now, C.S. Lewis talked about the fact that a lot of people claim that Jesus is a great philosopher, you know, and a moral person. But this is what he said about himself. And C.S. Lewis says that this doesn't give us the choice. He's either who he says he is, or he's a nut and should be in some insane asylum. Because Jesus said, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." If you've been chosen by God to have Jesus reveal the Father to you, then you will know the Father. What about Jesus' creative power? In John 1:3, it follows and says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." All things. And then Jesus' omnipotence. In Psalms even, back a couple hundred years or maybe 1,000 years, I don't know the timeline, but before Jesus even came, they were looking forward to him coming and said, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed with the saving power of his right hand." And in Hebrews, it reminds us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, the word sustaining means that without Jesus' intervention and control of this world we live in, that we wouldn't even be alive another minute. He sustains things by his presence and by his power. One of the things that I talk about when I'm teaching physics in high school is that the air in this room is made up of molecules bouncing around, and most of it is nitrogen, but 21% is oxygen. If it was less than probably 18 or 19% oxygen, we wouldn't have enough, we wouldn't be able to breathe in enough oxygen to live. And if it was more than about 25%, we would actually spontaneously combust. We would actually catch on fire. So it has to be right there in that exact range, you know, and so people go, "Oh, what a coincidence." No, it isn't a coincidence. God sustains the universe and our lives by making all these things work together just right. And one of the things that we talk about is that these molecules of air are bouncing around in here, and they're randomly bouncing off of each other. And so at any point in time, if I was standing in the middle of the room down here, some of the molecules would be coming towards me and some would be going away from me. Now, does that mean always exactly half and half are going towards me or away from me? No, but it's pretty close to half and half. But there's nothing that says that they couldn't all go away from me at the same time. The odds are just so slim that we haven't ever seen that happen. But it could happen that all the molecules there go to that end of the room and I standing up here have nothing to breathe. But that doesn't happen because Jesus is sustaining all things by his power. At the end of the Bible in Revelation, it says, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." It's a great thought, great knowledge to know that God is in charge of things. Sometimes we wonder who's in charge. Where was God when this happened to me? I know my mother has a problem with that. You know, like, why did my younger brother die of an aneurysm? Where was God at the time? You know, why didn't he take somebody else, like a bad guy or something? You know, my mother thinks that there's good guys and bad guys, and just like a lot of people, if you do more good stuff in your life than bad, you go to heaven. But when you try to get her to actually draw the line somewhere, well, is this going to keep me from going to heaven or this? She's really pretty unclear about it. We know that all people have sinned, and we all deserve to just have God just say, "You're gone, you're out of here." But he doesn't. Because of his grace, he gives us the opportunity to continue serving him even though we're imperfect. So the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let's go back to this line, though. We talked about the line at the top, at the beginning. Let's look at the line down there at the bottom. It's got some numbers there on it. Because this is what mathematicians talk about when they talk about what the properties of a line has one dimension. Properties of a plane, it has two dimensions and three-dimensional space. Physicists, we talk about n-dimensional space, where certain things happen. You know, we actually live in a four-dimensional world. We have the three dimensions of space in this room here, but we also have time. And we have to incorporate time into our equations in order to describe something. So if we're talking about something moving, like a jet airplane, we talk about where it is now, where it is at some other point in time. Without adding time, you can't say anything about the movement of that airplane. So we live in a four-dimensional world, but the formulas that we come up with mathematically can be extended on to an n-dimensional, where n is any number you want it to be, and any number it needs to be. But a mathematician says that a line is one-dimensional. It only goes in one direction. It doesn't have a height. It doesn't have a depth. It just has a length. Points on that line, though, have zero dimensions. They don't take up any space on the line. They might be at a specific point on that line, but they don't have any width. So, how many points are on a line? It's not a rhetorical question. How many points are on a line? Infinite number. How many points are on that line between 0 and 1? An infinite number. If you have two points that are as close together as you can imagine, how many points are in between those two points? An infinite number of points. You can always squeeze more in. So how did Jesus think of me and think of you and think of you while he was on the cross? How much time did he have? How much time would he need to think of every one of us? Every person that's ever been born, every person that ever will be born. He had an infinite amount of time. It's not difficult for God to do these kinds of things. So if that kind of God is for us, who can be against us? So we need to go out into the world this week and realize that the God, the creator of the universe, who created us, has a plan for us and certainly has the power to see that that gets done. And we're not restricted by any sense of time or distance or anything else from accomplishing what he has for us to do. Let's all stand and sing this song. I don't know if it's a new song to some of you, but what happened? Need to get the words back up at the very last slide. We have to zip through them all to find it, huh? In the first service, we sang this song as one of the praise and worship songs. But now we're going to sing it. Okay, here we go. All right. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.